Thank you, God, Scott, for doing that, and thank you for that prayer as well. This morning, you can turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to look into something that is something we don't talk a lot about, probably, but something that's very relevant to us, and this comes by the way of a question by someone wanting to hear some answers, and so I don't know if I have, I don't have all the answers, I know that, but it's a good question, and so I'd just like to throw this out. If you have something that you would like to hear in a sermon, let us know. It's helpful to know a topic. Sometimes half the work is coming up with a topic. And this here, I was not planning to do it today because I told my wife, I said, I think it's going to take more time than I have to dig into it. And so I tried to find other topics and nothing seemed to come around. My thoughts were still constantly on this. I said, well, I'll go for it and we'll do what we can and see what happens. I titled it, Confession is Good for the Soul. And so maybe I should go ahead and read our text before I go into it any further. I'm going to read the whole of 1 John chapter 1 and through verse 6 in chapter 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, as I go into this, I will read you the question that was given, and so that you can help understand why, and you think about it yourself. And as I said, this would have been a good question for a Wednesday night discussion, and so we're looking for that kind of thing. Dale said a book, and that would be good too, but relevant questions that you want answers or want help with. Don't be afraid to ask. As our last Sunday evening service in the cat and dog theology, in that small group, you remember, this young lady asked a question about who does God worship, I believe is what it was. And the leader of the group said, and she, I think she made a comment, something about a dumb question. And he said, there is no such thing as a dumb question. And so I would say that as well. You know, if a question is worth asking, it's a worth answering as well. And if I can't answer it, someone else can. Also, I know on the radio, usually on Saturdays, I haven't heard it for a few weeks, but there's a guy that answers, people have questions, they call in, or probably ahead of time, I'm assuming, and he answers them. And I forget what they call him, Dr. something. Anyway, he's got all the answers, supposedly. And I'm not that guy. I don't have all the answers. But I know that the answers are in the book, and I know that together we can find answers. And I may go in a different direction than what you would think of. I don't know. But this is where I felt led to. So the question is, do we have to ask for forgiveness from God every time we sin, or do we have to realize that He has already forgiven us and we just have to accept it, not even asking for forgiveness? I'll read it again. Do we have to ask for forgiveness from God every time we sin, or do we have to realize that He has already forgiven us and we just have to accept it, not even asking for forgiveness? I realize it can sound a little bit Calvinistic, once saved, always saved, and some of that. But so I want to be careful in what I say in this. And I think the Bible is clear, and it will give us clarity if we seek and as we search. I'm not going to answer that question right away. I'm probably going a long way around to get to that answer. But I think there's a lot of things that enter into this question as well. The one thing that stands out to me is the topic, the subject of sin. Sin is the problem in surrounding this question. If it wasn't for sin, we wouldn't have to seek forgiveness. We wouldn't do wrong and need to confess that. But since it is here, we cannot avoid it, cannot get away from it, we have to deal with it. And thank God that He took care of that problem. There's a saying that I've heard many times, and I couldn't remember all of it. So some of it is my words, but some is what I remember someone else saying. Sin is the problem, Christ is the cure. Confession is the answer, so you can be secure. I don't know if that's exactly, I don't think it's quite the way someone else said it, but anyway, I think it bears the meaning that I want to convey. We know that, there again, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, so I better follow my notes. So confess. Confess is to admit, to acknowledge a fault. And so James 5:16, it tells us that confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. That's not totally in line with the question, the topic, but it does relate to that in confessing our faults. Why is confession so difficult? Why is it so hard? Why do we avoid it at all costs if we can? Why do we try to hide sin and try to cover it up and try to go through life and trying to have people think that I am something I'm not? Why not just confess it? Why not just get it off my chest? Because the weight and the guilt of the guilt that we carry because of that sin is, it wears us down. It makes us sad. It's heavy. Satan would have us think that it's not necessary. You don't have to confess it. It's not that big a deal. Everybody's doing it. He comes with all kinds of lies and excuses why you don't have to do that. But we also know that Satan is a liar. And so we also know that God, as Christian people, as believers, God has given us the Holy Spirit within us. And so if there's sin in our lives, the Holy Spirit will not give us rest. Thank God for that. There have been times that I wished I could rest. I wished I didn't have to confess. But after it was over with and after it was done, the release of the burden, the freedom that you experience from that is so much greater, and it's worth it. And you say, why did I wait so long? So confession is, someone has said, I thought it was in the Bible, I couldn't find it. So I guess it's someone saying, confession is good for the soul. Now, if it's in the Bible, I didn't find it. So whatever, but I think it's probably just someone saying. Anyway, but it's very true. It is good for us. It doesn't hurt us a bit. It will do us good. We will grow in that. And along with that, it's out of humility of our hearts, and God loves a humble person. I'm going to turn to a number of scriptures and that have to do with confession, and some of these are in Psalms. There are many verses in Psalms that deal with David's heart, and it shows where David was in that when he sinned, when he did wrong, he was quick to confess. And I believe that's why he was the man that the Bible declares that he was, a man after God's own heart. It wasn't that he was that good. It wasn't that he was that sinless. But it was in his response to that sin is what God recognized. I'm going to read Psalm 32, verse 5. He says, I acknowledge my sin, my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. And also in chapter 41, verse 4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. In all these verses and in scripture, there is the confession, there is the acknowledgement of wrong, of sin, and then there is the response of God. And knowing, and these, as David knew that God would forgive, and God did forgive. And you and I as believers as well, as our text told us this morning. Now I want to read Psalm 51. This is a psalm of David in his confession after his sin with Bathsheba. And what he said, and I'm going to read the first 17 verses. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And then in 1 John, in our text, verse 9, actually 8 through 10, it talks about that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. And so, where does sin come from? Why are we dealing with this thing? In Romans 5:12, it talks about, Paul addresses that, about through one man's disobedience. Sin came into the world, and so all were guilty. And then in verse 19 of the same chapter, the first part of the chapter, it says, through obedience of one, then we have all been, and I better turn to that. I forget how that, exactly how that says. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So as I said earlier, sin is a problem. Christ is a cure. Christ took care of that. And again, in verse 7 and in verse 9 here in our text, it talks about if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then verse 9 says the same thing. He is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sin. So that's what we're looking for, really. We know we're sinners. We know we have a problem. And we know the answer. But there are people in the world, and actually all of us, most of us, I would say, probably have, when we came to that point in our life, we resisted the fact that to take the remedy upon ourselves or to accept the remedy that God gave for us, at least in some cases. I shouldn't say everyone, it's probably not true, but for me, I did. I resisted that for some reason. I think it was partly because I didn't want to give up myself. I didn't want to give up. I felt like I was giving up some of the things that I thought were fun that I wanted to do. And I, as a Christian, I didn't think I could do that. And so I resisted. But Christ's blood cleanses us from sin. Not just one sin, but all sin. Everything. That any sin that's ever been committed, the blood of Jesus will take care of that. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, there are people, or the commentary, it talked about the Gnostics and some of the people in that day. They didn't believe that they sinned. The Gnostics believed that Jesus was, forget just how it was, so much that when Jesus went to the cross, he was just another person. He was not tied to the Father. And so what he did really accomplished nothing. He was just another man. Well, we know in Romans 3:23, it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so it includes everyone. I'm going to read a little bit from what I read in the commentary. Matthew Henry has this to say: we must beware of deceiving ourselves in denying or excusing our sins. And I've thought of that. Sometimes we say, well, I can't help it. As I said earlier, some of these things that Satan would bring at us and excuses, whatever. It wasn't that bad. So what? It'll go away. But Matthew Henry says we must beware of deceiving ourselves. That's a form of deception. Deceiving myself that really it's not that way when it really is. In denying or excusing our sin, the more we see them, the more we shall esteem and value the remedy. I like that. You know, when I see myself as who I really am, as God would see me, as a weak, as a sinful person, who was it? Peter that said, told Jesus, don't touch me, I'm a sinful man. As I see that, I value then the remedy that God, through Jesus Christ, has perfected for that sin. That becomes valuable to me, because otherwise I'm lost. Otherwise I am condemned. I stand condemned before God, the creator of the earth, the world, and I will be judged, and I have no one to answer for me, and it won't be well. So I value that remedy that God provided. The Christian religion is a religion of sinners, of such as have sinned, and in whom sin in some measure still dwells. Think about that. You don't want to think about that. I didn't like that. I'm not sure about that. And yet, I believe it's true. The Christian life is a life of continued repentance, humiliation for and mortification of sin, of continual faith in, thankfulness for, and love to the Redeemer, and hopeful, joyful expectation of a day of glorious redemption, in which the believer shall be fully and finally acquitted and sin abolished forever. That's where we live. That's where we find ourselves. We would like to think that we're Christians and we no longer sin. John tells us that. But in our human abilities, and there again, I don't want to make excuses for our humanness, but at the same time, we live in this body, and the Bible would tell us that if you read Romans 5 through 8, chapters 5 through chapter 8, it's Paul's discussion of this whole thing. Adam Clark says, sin exists, number one, sin exists in the soul in two forms. One is in guilt, which requires forgiveness or pardon. Two is in pollution, which requires cleansing. Okay, part two, guilt to be forgiven must be confessed, and pollution to be cleansed must also be confessed. In order to find mercy, a man must know and feel himself to be a sinner, that he may fervently apply to God for pardon. In order to get a clean heart, a man must know and feel its depravity, acknowledge and deplore it before God in order to be fully sanctified. Romans 10, 9 and 10, very familiar verses. I remember my first time of responding to an invitation, and these were the verses that were quoted to me, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There is something about relating the importance of acknowledging. Obviously, if we don't acknowledge our sin, then we don't think we're guilty of sin. But if we acknowledge it, we're opening ourselves up before God and saying, God, I need your help. let's see here. Okay, in 1 John 2:1, and then, okay, it's fine in our new birth experience, our sins are taken away. They are covered. They are taken care of at that point. But then in our first verse in chapter 2, John comes along and he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The theme of the gospel from Old Testament through the New Testament is very clear, that God's and all the writers, their theme is that you don't sin. God does not want us to sin. God cannot stand sin. And that's why Jesus came, to pay that price, because we do sin. We have sinned. and we need someone to intercede for us because we can't do it on our own. He is an advocate. I think the NIV says it's one who speaks to the Father in our defense. If you ever went before a judge for something that you did, and you have no one to speak for you. Now, the time I was there, I didn't have anyone to speak for me. I had to talk for myself. But if you were going for a very serious thing, you would have someone to speak for you, an attorney or the defense attorney or someone that would speak on your behalf to the judge and try to have him understand whatever the situation was. That's what Jesus does. I picture Jesus, and the Bible tells us in numerous places, and I don't think I wrote any of them down then, but he is, I did, in Hebrews 1:3 and Hebrews 12:12, I'm not going to turn to them, and there's several others that talks about where Jesus finished the work, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. In one verse it talks about he's interceding for us. So I picture Jesus there as we go through life, as we do life, as we face the things we face, and the temptations that come our way, and whether we sin because of temptation, ignorance, unawareness, whatever it is, Jesus is there before the Father, before the throne, and he's telling the Father, he's forgiven. I've taken care of it. I paid the price. My blood. Jesus, God sees the blood of Jesus, and we go free. Now, there's a little more to that. As I said, when we sin, the Holy Spirit reminds us of that sin. And so we have a choice. I can ignore it, try to ignore it. It's not easy. You know that. I think we've all been there. Or we can confess it. We say, yes, God, as David did. When it was presented to him, when Nathan the prophet came and said, you're the man. David said, I sinned before God and men. Christ's atonement for sin, his redeeming work, his blood cleanses from all sin. Past, present, and future. It's a settled fact. We don't have to argue about that. We don't have to wonder about that. It's done. There is no other way. There is no other way to take care of that sin. It's been taken care of. It's sufficient. God said when he saw Christ die, Jesus said it's finished. God said it's complete. The work on Calvary, the plan of salvation was completed. As an advocate, Jesus is in the presence of the Father, speaking in our defense. When we confess our present and future sins, we need not to continue to ask God for sins confessed. We've all heard that saying, or we've heard that song, I think most of us heard that. It says, and I don't know how it goes except one line, it says, what sins are you talking about? You know, we tell God our sins. We go through the whole spiel of, I did this, I did that. Well, if they're back in the past, they're taken care of, we don't have to remind God of them. In fact, some of the commentaries would say that that's blasphemous, that you would do that. So let's not do that. We don't have to do that. Psalm 103, 10 through 12, I'm not going to turn to that, but part of it is, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Someone has said that when our sins are forgiven, God, they're in the sea of forgetfulness, God puts up a no fishing sign. So don't go back and try to get them back. Unless it's a continued sin. If you're still living in sin, then yes, you need to repent. You need to confess. I do believe that. But as far as the initial forgiveness and cleansing from that guilt, he says, if we confess with our mouth, Romans says, but here he says, if we confess our sins. So it's obviously that we need to do that. Then it says, he's faithful and he's just. He is the right judge. He will do what's right. And in this case, because of Jesus, he cleanses us from all sin. We can walk away lighthearted, light in our conscience. We can walk away free because of what Jesus did for us and what he's still doing. He is still presenting our faults before the Father. Those that happen now and those that will happen in the future. So don't try to cover it up. Don't try to go some other way. Don't try to find another way. You know, it's so simple, and yet it's so hard. Because in our human nature, I don't want to humiliate myself. I don't want you to know really who I am and what I've done. So I try to hide it, and I try to hide it, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds until, you know, it even affects us physically. There are people, I believe, that are sick physically because of unconfessed sin. Now, I'm not saying that because you have physical ailments that you sinned. Don't go there. I don't believe that. But I do believe that unconfessed sin will affect us mentally, spiritually, and physically. So, the question: do we have to ask for forgiveness from God every time we sin? I think from what I read and we went through that the answer is obvious. It is yes. And part of the last part, we just have to accept it, even asking for, or without asking for acceptance or forgiveness, I'm sorry. There is a part of that. That, yeah, we have to accept the fact that Jesus died for our sins. I have to accept that. I have a choice. I can either deny it or I can accept it. I can allow the forgiveness of God to take care of that sin, or I can continue to try to work it out or try to find another way, which is useless, fruitless, will not work. But he has, once and for all, his atonement. One time was sufficient. Doesn't have to do it again. And Hebrews has a lot to talk about that as well. Talking about the offerings that the people had to offer and sacrifice daily, continually. And they didn't wash away their sins. But Jesus, one sacrifice, one atonement, took care of it forever. And now he's in heaven begging the Father on our behalf that we also one day can be there with him. That's the goal. That's the end. The result that we are looking for and living for as well. As I said, I probably didn't give you all the answers that are there to be had, but hopefully it'll spark your interest that you can seek, you can search for yourself. There are a lot of verses, there's a lot of scripture that talks about confessing and God's forgiveness and so on. Do we have a closing song? 161 in the folder. When you find that, you can stand. Our Father, we are grateful to you today that you, for your plan of salvation that you perfected through your Son Jesus Christ, and that he was willing to be that sacrifice. We thank you today for the blood that cleanses us from all sin. We know that that's the only way, that's our only hope, and Lord, we thank you that it's enough. There is no need for more. And so help us, God, today that we would be sensitive and that we would be quick and willing to confess and to forsake the sin that is a part of us. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Shall we sing?